The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Oh, Snoop Double O P D O Double G, bringing in the good vibes. What a night for the Brewers. They win 3-1. If you missed it over on Bally Sports Wisconsin, you may find it very quickly on your social media feeds. Snoop Dogg was in the clubhouse earlier today. He's playing a show over at Potawatomi tonight. He brought the good vibes. Joey Ortiz brought the offense. The defense was astounding. And the pitching was just as good, if not better. 3-1 over the Reds. They have leveled the series. Go for the series win tomorrow. I'm Dominic Catronio. The phone number is 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Jerry Augustine is with us once again. Augie, I mean, we could talk about the issues with runners in scoring position. We could be picking at nits, if you will. But look, this was another high-quality baseball game, all based on the Brewers' philosophy of how they feel is the best way to win games, and that is pitching and defense, and they were both on display today.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, you talk about Murph, and when you ask me, what about your ball club? What makes your ball club? You got some injuries, you got a lot of pitching injuries, you're not playing at 100%. And he said it's just so neat about how this ball club finds ways in which they have to step up. And one day it might be the offense and coming and scoring a couple runs and getting key runs in certain situations. Other days it's going to be the pitching, or it's going to be the bullpen that comes in and stops maybe a game that gets out of hand, they were able to fight back. But I'll tell you, today was a nice blend of everything. And I think you and I talked last night when we looked at Bryce Wilson starting today. They had the Koenig start with the Bryce Wilson stepping in. We needed something special out of Bryce Wilson. We needed him to step up and really pitch a good ball game. And I thought he did. I thought he was a battler today. He went out and understood that, you know what, this is a divisional game. They are so important. We can't let the Reds get up 2-0. He went out there and pitched a whale of a ball game, and the bullpen took over and really held it after Ortiz hit the home run.
Well, I mean, look at it for Bryce today, right? Just one walk. He did not allow an extra base hit. One of the three hits he allowed was just a broken bat bloop. A couple of them are really bloops, quite frankly. Only one well-hit ball, but two clutch double plays turned behind him today. A ton of ground balls for Bryce. He also had 6 strikeouts, and he's not a strikeout guy, Augie, but what jumped out to you about his mix today?
I like the confidence he had in his pitches. You know, he talked early in the season, what made the difference about coming to Milwaukee? What was the one thing that when you were at Pittsburgh, you were struggling as a starter, you could start games, but boy, you get to the fourth inning, that was something very special. And now you feel like you can come in at any time, you're versatile, you can do what you want. And I think it was that cutter. I think that's that breaking ball slider, whatever you want to call it. I think that was an exceptional pitch where he had a lot of confidence and a lot of command. And when you can fill up the quadrants with fastballs, getting ahead of hitters, getting yourself in good situations, that breaking ball is going to be really good for you. And I think today is one time when he had that confidence that said, you know, whatever pitch I need, I can get. And that breaking ball was very special for him. So I just like the way he went about his job and saying that, you know what, I'm going to go out there and pitch, but even more so than go out and pitch, I'm going to go out and battle. I'm going to keep us in the ball game.
I thought a really important at-bat was the one in the third inning facing Ellie De La Cruz for the first time on the day. One out, nobody on. He falls behind Ellie 3-0. And one of the things that he had talked about, actually, was how do you limit the run game? Teams have been running against him. How do you try to, you know, handle it with a guy like Ellie De La Cruz if he does get on base? Well, let's try not to let him on base, right? And he's behind 3-0. He battles back to 3-2, and he eventually gets him looking on a curveball in the eighth pitch of the at-bat. That was the moment I knew he had this game under control. He would strike out the next batter, Jamer Candelario, as well. In fact, that was a stretch of 3 strikeouts in a row. And quite frankly, if Bryce Wilson's getting strikeouts, that's a sign of how his stuff is moving, because he's very much a pitch-to-contact guy. But if he's getting that late movement, and if he's getting stuff that is making hitters uncomfortable, especially a hot offense like the Reds, to go 5 1/3 shutout frames with only 3 hits and one of them being a broken bat bloop, shoot. Hey, you've earned yourself another start, to say the least.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, Dom, to tell you the truth, I thought the at-bat against De La Cruz in that third inning, when he fell behind him and he came back and got him, I thought that was the turning point of the whole ball game. I thought after that he got some confidence. We said there was a time when he went 3 strikeouts in a row, but it just seemed like he started getting yeah, you can kind of see that a guy's way he approaches it, and when he looks at what he, how he sits in, and he takes a pitch, he just goes and he goes right after him. It just seemed like he got into a place there where he had good, solid focus. He had confidence in all his pitches, and he executed the pitches after that. The execution from that time on was so much better than it was prior to that. Before that, feeling for his pitches, trying to get the pitches where he wanted to. After that, a confidence in execution. I thought it made a big difference. I'm glad you brought that up, because I thought that was a big turning point in the ballgame.
The opener tactic worked for the most part once again today. Jimmer Candelario is white hot right now. Got a hit off of Koenig, but that's all. Brian Hudson was great, and I'll dedicate a whole segment to him because he's been phenomenal. And then McGill had a little bit of a speed bump there in the ninth inning, but it's just a reminder. He's the placeholder. He still got the job done. No strikeouts today. But when Devin Williams comes back and you start to think ahead and think about the talent that's in this bullpen where you can throw McGill in the eighth or in the seventh if you want. They didn't even use Yoel Piamps today. They didn't even use Anoli Paredes today. They didn't even use Hobie Milner today. Like, just the depth that they are going to have later on this season when Devin returns, whew, that really gets me excited.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, you got to like the way they pitch. We always talk about what wins pennants. Bullpens win pennants. And this bullpen, the way Murph has been using them, given the opportunity for these young guys to go back out there, and there's no limit set. There's no limits on how good you can be just going up and get it. And I really like the idea of McGill pitching in that and keeping him in that position, because you know what? One of the most important parts of baseball is not only that closer, but it's that setup guy to get to the closer. And we see great bullpens in the history of baseball. What do they have? Yeah, they have a good sixth, seventh inning guy, but boy, that eighth and ninth inning are so important. And McGill's kind of falling into that. Today, yeah, got himself in a little bit of trouble, got some pitches in some spots, but those things are going to happen. And it's just a sign that, you know, anytime you play teams in the division, nobody's going to go down easy. You got to play 27 outs, and today the Reds did that, but McGill came up big and got the save.
We'll talk about the offense coming up in the next segment, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, if you want to join us here on the program. A reminder as well, Brew's Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Take a break, come back with more. Brewers win 3-1 right here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Good pull there by our producer, Evan Witalison. The Dogfather brought a win. Brewers win 3-1 over the Reds. Even the series at a game apiece. Rubber match tomorrow at 1:10 on Father's Day. I'm Dominic Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Augie, Joey Ortiz, holy cow. I mean, I'm starting to sit here and think, and this is not the truth and not meant to be taken out of context, but like, you know, a lot of people just assume that with the trade that D.L. Hall was the centerpiece and Joey Ortiz helped get it across the line and then the extra pick was nice too. Like, maybe Joey Ortiz was actually the centerpiece and somebody they really didn't want to give up for in the Corbin Burns trade, because this dude's a gamer. He played some great defense today, and oh, by the way, he was all the offense of the three-run homer.
I'll tell you what. You know, you think about some of these young kids. We talked about it last night. The veterans have to step up. You know, you got your Contreras, who's having a great year behind the plate, and you got Kristen Yelich and Hoskins and Adames, and all these guys are swinging the bat while they make this ball club go. But, you know, you look at some of these young players. You just watch what they're doing, trying after last year, struggling to come up and having a great year. But I look at this Ortiz at third base. Came in really a shortstop, moves over to third base, says, what do I do to play third base? I keep the game slow. I just play it the way I naturally play it, and has played some great third base. But even more important and even more special is the offense that he's given to this ball club. He really gives you some real special at-bats. And when I think of him, there's certain word designations you want to use. I just think you got to say the word special, because he has really been that for the Brewers this year and been a big part of what this ball club has been doing.
I mean, when you look at, he's all over the rankings when it comes to rookies. I mean, we can break down the reason why I'm frustrated with the rookie rules of, like, Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Shota Imanaga are technically rookies because it's their first time stateside, even though they've been a professional for 6+ years in Japan. But when you look at like the offensive rookies, the guys that are truly rookies here in the National League, so Mason Wynn is leading with batting average, right? But he's all a batting average type guy. Joey Ortiz is a better on base, a better slugging, better OPS, fewer strikeouts, more walks. He is doing it in the leadoff spot today against the left-hander. And I know we briefly broached the subject of putting Yelly in the leadoff spot yesterday, and you like keeping him in the three spot. But look, if they do move Yelly back to the leadoff spot, I know who I'm putting third, and it's Joey Ortiz. And that's, I think, the ultimate compliment you can give him.
Well, I think when you're a young player, I think they always say that a young player comes to major leagues, and you know, there's a set of rules that they have, and you just say, you know, you got to get that 500 to 750 at bats, where you start getting a good feel for what major league pitching is and how they're going to make changes on you and all these things. But I think what I really like what Murph is doing, the guys he puts in that first spot, and you started off with Terang moving Terang into that first spot, now putting Ortiz there at time, and even we see a lot of different choices that he can do in that first slot. But when you have the guys behind him that are your mainstay of the batting order, that you know that if that you as a leadoff man, you're going to get some good pitches hit. You just got to be patient. You got to take what you're given. And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to work out really well. I'm going to tell you, having this batting order and putting these young kids in the leadoff spot has really made a difference. And that's one reason last night when we talked about Christian, you put Christian in that third slot. I don't care about the home runs, but when you drive the ball in fields and you get on base like you have in this top three or four guys, that makes your offense that much better. And what do the Brewers need more than anything? They not only need to manufacture runs, or they got to win like Earl Weaver likes to win it with the big three-run homer like they did today. So it was a great game. It was a great things that happened, and Ortiz has really been a big special with the big home run. But these young kids are really stepping up.
Yeah, Ortiz, by the way, he swung the bat 12 times today. He only whiffed once, and that's part of the reason why he is special, like you say it. Let me do the other side of this coin real quick, though, Augie, because, cool, we can sit here and praise Joey Ortiz, three-run homer, that's awesome. That was literally it for the offense today. No other extra base hits. They only managed 4 hits total, not nearly as many walks as last night. They drew 3 walks tonight. They went 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position, that one being the home run. I ask you, I mean, what's going on with this offense overall? I know they got the win, and we're not sitting here complaining about a win, but you can look under the hood a little bit and be like, seems like it's due for an oil change or something here, because once again, they failed with runners in scoring position. Now, through today, they are just 45 with runners in scoring position. That ain't going to cut it.
Well, you know, it's so funny, Dom, that I was looking at this about a week and a half ago. I was doing an interview with another station in Wisconsin. I looked at it, and the Brewers were hitting about 270 with runners in score, 272, I believe it was, with runners in score. And I go, holy mackerel, I've never seen a Brewer ball club like that. And, yes, they have gone into a problem, a little bit of a problem where they're struggling a little bit with runners in scoring position. I also give some credit to the opposing pitchers. They're not seeing many bad pitchers. They're seeing some guys really pitch some really good ball games, and guys that, you know, when you can, you as a pitcher, when you can bear down and get gunners in scoring position, make those good pitches, that's a sign that, you know, you're going to be into a lot of ball games. And the Brewers have faced that. But I'll tell you what, this ball club continually finds different ways. Some days in some areas, it's not going to be that runners in scoring position. It's going to be the pitching and the defense like it was today, which was a big part of it. So, you know, they step up. We can look at it. It'll be interesting to see long-term how this runners in scoring position is going, because I'll tell you what, I looked like 2 weeks ago when I saw that 272. I was amazed. Now, I don't know what they are now, but I'll tell you what, that was pretty impressive.
Very impressive, indeed. When you look at the Brewers, their success is the pitching, and one of those guys is Brian Hudson. I'm going to break him down further here in a moment, get to a few texts here as well. Churio, Terang, Ortiz, that trio won it for the Brewers today and will win a lot more. Not many young trios around like that. That one from Doug. This one from Aaron in Illinois. Pitching was fantastic, as was the defense. I agree with you, Hudson's an all-star, and it took Wilson as the player of the game. Even though he didn't have a hit, Churio looks like he's starting to, quote-unquote, feel it, still contributed with a walk, stolen base, and a run scored. And somebody mentioned yesterday that maybe you should put Reese between Yelly and Wild Bill. I think Reese is just in a rough stretch right now. This is what the hitter Reese Hoskins is as a slugger. He will go on stretches where it looks like he can't miss, and then he'll go on stretches where it looks like he can't find it. That's just part of the Reese Hoskins experience, if you ask me. We'll talk about Brian Hudson and some more bullpen thoughts after this. Brewers win 3-1, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
All the Snoop Dogg rejoins today. Brewers win 3-1. Jerry Augustine is with us once again. Man, Brian Hudson continues to impress, Augie. We've talked about him plenty on the show all season long. He earned his 10th hold of the year, which is essentially a save for a reliever. When you look at the National League lead for relief pitchers, I'm pulling it up right now as we speak. I mean, that's got to be near the top. Pulling it up, stand by, click here, click there. He's in the middle of the pack, so not as high as I thought it would be, but an 0.95 ERA. He's around three guys here that I think of that are certainly all-stars in their own right, and it's so hard to be an all-star when you're not a closer. But Colin Holderman with the Pirates, Jeff Hoffman with the Phillies, both of those guys have had equally impressive seasons, as have Brian Hudson. The thing about Hudson is he's doing it over multiple innings. He's over 30 innings now. He's at 38 innings on the season and just 17 hits and 45 strikeouts. These are video game numbers, Augie. I can't make sense of it. He just blew through the side, six up, six down, no problem today.
Yeah, you know, he's so unique, you know, because his height and he's a big, tall guy and he's lanky and he pitches off the left side of the rubber, which that ball looks like it's almost coming from the first base side. I think the one thing that's really impressed me about him, most of the pitchers that pitch from a lower angle like he does, you still have to say what they say on top of the ball. That means the ball has to be straight out and you have to stay on top of it. And I think he does that really well. And the one thing I see him that has really been impressive to me is that he can throw that ball on the inside part of the plate to a right-hander and make it come back and let the ball sail back in over the plate a little bit. But he also can take that ball and change the grip on it, maybe go to a four-seamer and dot that outside corner. And he can elevate it. When you got the flight that he does, he doesn't throw like a typical pitch where you get a downward plane on the ball. He gets a sideward plane. And actually, it looks like the ball actually goes up a little bit. Is because that arm angle and the way he does it. And then he's able to use that breaking ball and stay on top and get that good downward movement. When you've got a pitch that, number one, you can bring back over the plate with a two-seam sinker, or take the four-seam fastball and dot it, and then have that slider go down, I mean, that's pretty special. And he can do it to both sides of the plate. I don't know what the other organization was looking at, but what you can do that on a consistent basis. Those strikes and not walk people, that's pretty special. And I'm going to tell you what, he's been every bit of that for the Milwaukee Brewers.
The backdoor slider he threw to Jonathan India, I believe it was, to lead off the eighth inning, where that sequence, you can just put that in the Louvre. I mean, like, that was three of the best pitches you could ask for in that situation. And to what you're talking about with his release point and what it looks like to the hitter, for Jonathan India, right-handed hitter, and Brian Hudson kind of works right down the middle of the rubber, but with his long arms and his 6'9" frame, and he, for being a guy that tall with great extension, the other oddity about it, like you said, with that lower extension, he looks like he's throwing that ball from like where the second baseman is standing, which is odd from a guy that's 6'9". And to release that slider in the other batter's box, to have it bend back and get on the outside corner, and Jonathan India is a rookie of the year, he's one heck of a hitter. To have him look completely fooled, I think, just tells you they're not seeing him. And that's the last frontier of being able to measure things, right? We're not able to measure how deceptive a player is. But that's a perfect example of what we're saying. Like, they can't pick him up. It does not matter that it throws 92. They can't see the baseball.
And, you know, the one thing, and I talked about it a little bit early, it's the flight of the ball. And remember I talked to you about on the outside how he can take that ball, maybe get away from a two-seamer, go to a four-seamer, and that ball looks like it actually goes up a little bit. He takes that pitch, and he puts that on the outside corner for a strike. I'm going to tell you what, you're wide open for that backdoor slider. It's coming, and you don't know how to handle it because the ball looks the same. And I think that's what's been so special about him. He not only can take that ball and run it back over the plate on the inside right-hander, he can take that right-hander, that four-seamer, and kind of dot that outside corner and then make that slider come either backdoor or inside with a good downward movement. That is what you get really special, because the ball looks different each and every time. Comes out of the same slot, but looks different, and that's what has made him so special. You think fastball, and all of a sudden it's that cutter, and it comes off the outside part of the plate. You think the ball's going to be on the inside part of the plate where he's throwing that four-seamer on the inside, it comes back over the plate. You have to always be up there protecting the plate when he's on the mound, and he's been throwing the ball to great locations, and I think that's a big part of his success. Not only that, he doesn't walk a lot of guys. He doesn't pitch behind. He throws strikes, and that's so important.
Yeah, I think the other guy that's kind of getting lost in the shuffle right now is a guy like Jared Koenig, who's been doing everything the team has asked him. The dude's played for like five different independent leagues. He's been phenomenal for the Brewers. Today he was the opener. He got the job done. Let me just read you this season now for Koenig, including today. He's got six wins, which, you know, as a reliever, you can call that a vulture, if you will. A 1.69 ERA, 32 innings, just 24 hits against. Only six walks, too, which I think is super impressive for Koenig. I mean, the dude's a Swiss Army knife. He can start games as an opener. He can come in and get righties or lefties out. He can get that one tough lefty that you need. And, oh, by the way, he can touch 96-97. He sits 94-95, another funky delivery. Jared Koenig, another guy that one man's trash, another man's treasure, the Brewers have found.
Understanding where you're at, understanding your game, what you're going to be doing, how the organization wants to use you. I get the biggest kick out of my – I think it was the time he started two games in a row. It was with Philadelphia, I think he might have started two games in a row. And the second –
Philly and Boston.
Philly and Boston, he came walking off the mound, and he just had a big smile. Because, you know, he went out there that one inning, and he gave you that good, strong inning. Here's a guy that just wants opportunity, and he says, when I get an opportunity, I'm going to go out and give you the best I got. And it's showing that. He's 6-1. He comes and starts games. He's not going to get anything for starting games. Other than, hey, you know what? I might change their order around. I might get them thinking different. Hey, we win that way. Let's keep doing it that way. But I'll tell you what, you have a guy that does that, and is happy with what he does. You get the pitch in the major leagues. It doesn't get any better than that. But I think he's done an outstanding job with this ball club. Being able, like you said, being that Swiss Army knife, you're able to do anything they want, and you do it well, and that's what he's doing.
And then tomorrow, quietly, maybe the best starter this season for the Brewers, Colin Ray will get the ball. Colin, 5-2, a 3.31 ERA this year. Opponents only hitting .239 against him. What do you see from Colin tomorrow that will make him successful against the Reds?
Just what he does each and every time. He pitches the edges. He's got good command. His fastball is sneaky. He can throw it up. And I think his fastball is sneaky when he throws it up in the zone. I think he throws it a little bit, holds the ball maybe a little bit different when he gets a little bit better. We always used to say that when you hold the ball with the seams, you get sinking action. The ball doesn't have the great as velocity as you usually have. But you get the good sinking action. You throw the ball across the seam, it looks like you get a little bit better zip on it, a little bit better fastball. I think he has a great idea on how to use that. But one thing that Colin Reyes does, and he does very well, he pitches to the sidelines. He pitches right on the quadrants, on the outside, inside. He locates the ball. But when he needs that little extra, he knows he can pitch up in the zone, and he also can have that good breaking ball down. So I look for him, number one, he's got to pitch ahead. You got to pitch ahead against Cincinnati. They're swinging the bat very well right now. And number two, you got to continue to pitch a quadrant and pitch ahead.
Yeah, he's going to be the major key for the Brewers to keep this good stretch going and take another series from a divisional opponent. The Brewers have not lost a series to a divisional opponent this year. The worst they've done is a split in a four-game set with the Pittsburgh Pirates back in late April. So they have a chance for another series win tomorrow, and it could be a fun one here at the ballpark for Father's Day. Jerry Augustine, I know you're watching your granddaughter, and it's been fun. And I hope you have a great Father's Day, and we'll see you out here tomorrow, my friend.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great matchup. Montez has been pitching really well since last time out. I think he had a really good ball game. Almost had a no-hitter going through six or seven. So there's a guy who's throwing the ball very well. So when you get Colin Ray and Montez out there, good way to finish the series. Let's get the Brewers going and win the series and keep it rolling.
Then they're off to the West Coast. Jerry Augustine joining us here on WTMJ. Thanks, Augie.
It's great to be with you.
All right, Augie here on the show. We're going to hear from Joey Ortiz. I got a few more texts to get to as well. Pat Murphy in highlights a little bit later on in the program as well. Brewers win 3-1 over the Reds right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win 3-1. Go for the series win tomorrow. Also, a reminder that Brew's Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Thunderstorms can happen at any time in Wisconsin, and as an authorized Generac dealer, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you up to $1,500 off a whole home generator. You can visit Sider, Seider.com today. The Brewers got the win. All of the offense provided by Joey Ortiz. A few texts here. Brian from Tosa. Great win today with one big swing and outstanding pitching. Not to beat a dead horse. 1-for-5 with runners scoring position. Already talked about that as well. If you take away the two hits by Yelich, our right-handed hitters only got two hits. Against average teams, we can get away with those numbers, but against the elite teams, we'll come back to bite us if the right-handed hitters don't play better. I agree with Reese is in a funk right now, to say the least. Adames is hot and cold. He looks like he can really carry a team for a while, and he had just got over that 0-for-19, and he's kind of gone back into another mini 0-for here since the home run on Monday, or he did hit the home run on Wednesday, I should say, so I should backtrack on that. But Williams starting to swing the bat a little bit better, maybe, hopefully. Today he went 0-for-4, though, and you would hope that after yesterday's homer that it was going to produce some more consistent offense. I think what everyone's looking for is consistency, and quite frankly, consistency is the hardest thing to attain as an offense. Tom from South Dakota, after a heartbreaker last night, there was only one masher tonight. That was Ortiz, but it was all that was needed indeed. The player of the game poll right now, Joey Ortiz, is overwhelmingly leading that right now over on my Twitter at Dom_Catronio. Some Yankee fan got in my mentions asking why I think Brian Hudson's an all-star. He absolutely is. And also, I should disclaim, I know he's probably not going to be selected to be an all-star, but I'm trying to change the narrative on this. It's nearly impossible to be a leverage reliever and be added to the all-star team when there are going to be other all-stars on your team, right? William Contreras is going to be an all-star, in my opinion. Also, you better be voting, Brewers fans, by the way. We've been talking about this since April. But William Contreras could be an all-star. Joey Ortiz could be an all-star. Christian Yelich should be an all-star. So generally, if it's not going to be a closer or a starting pitcher, they'll give that spot, that obligatory all-star spot, to a team that does not have a position player all-star. So it makes it a little bit harder for Brian Hudson to make it to Arlington. But with 71% of the vote, our player of the game poll leading the way is Joey Ortiz. He caught up with Lane Grindle on the post-game show after the game earlier tonight after his sixth home run of the year.
Joey Ortiz is on his way. We're going to chat with him in just a few moments as he is one of the many heroes of this game along with the pitching staff doing their thing for 9 innings today. Ortiz with that 3-run blast in the fifth inning, Joey. Look, you have gotten off to such a great start with the Brewers over the course of this year. What has it been for you about this place that's allowed you to get so comfortable so quickly?
I think it has a lot to do with the guys around me. Everyone was so welcoming as soon as I got traded and as soon as we came into spring training, and it made it easy to get comfortable and get into a position where I could just be the player that I am, and that's just what I'm trying to do.
The home run in the fifth. You got a change up, and you didn't miss it. Pretty fair?
Yeah. He had been throwing a good game. He threw a good game up until that point right there, and I just tried telling myself to stay back on the ball because he was flipping me a good amount of off-speed stuff, and I just tried to stay back on the ball and was able to get extended on a changeup and put us up 3.
Joey, one of the things that Pat Murphy always talks about when your name comes up is just how consistently you hit the ball hard. And anybody that watches every game, pays attention, would notice the same thing, that you hit even most of your outs are hard hit outs. I mean, you're hitting the ball hard consistently, and that's probably why the results are following like they are. Has this always been the case for you, or have you found something extra this year, in your opinion?
I think I may have found something extra. I don't really think about it. I just go up and try and have a quality at bat, especially as far as today. I just, as a leadoff hitter, I'm just trying to go up and have a quality at bat, make sure I'm seeing a lot of pitches so the rest of the team can see what the guys got. And as far as the season, I'm just trying to have a quality at bat and just – try and be productive in any way that I can.
Well, speaking of that, first inning, you lead off the game against Abbott. 10-pitch battle. You end up flying out to left, but that's always one of those at-bats that it just sets everything else up. Even though it's an out, he had to use a lot of energy right out of the gate to get that first out, and everybody else is able to see him a little bit before they have to come to the plate. That certainly doesn't hurt, I wouldn't think.
No, yeah, I mean, I feel personally as a leadoff hitter, you kind of got to see as many pitches as you can. Obviously, if he throws one in the zone, try and hit it hard. But like you said, just try and see as many pitches as I can, and then get the rest of the lineup to be able to see what he's got, what he's throwing, what he's trying to do. And then we just try and get as many pitches as we can so then he's out of the game quicker.
Last question for you. How hard was it to make the transition to third? You've made it look so easy. It's not as easy as you've made it look, right?
I mean, I like to just try and keep it simple. Field the ball, throw the ball. It's the same at every position. But it's definitely been a decent jump. I mean, I played third a good amount last year.
Yeah.
With Baltimore, and coming over here, I was pretty familiar with it. So, but playing every day, you got to stay on your toes because the ball's coming hard at you. So, you just got to react and field the ball and try and hit whoever's at first in the chest.
Well, it's fun to watch you play it over there. Fun to see what you're doing at the plate as well, Joey. We appreciate you giving us some time. Congrats on a great game here today.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, Joey had himself quite the day. And the double plays, too. I mean, the double play that he turned, I believe it was on India, yes, in the fifth inning, on a hot shot that he had to back up on. The quick relay to Terang, who turned it around to first quick. Man, that was, you may not see it on SportsCenter because nobody dove for it, but man, that was a top-level difficulty double play to turn for the Brewers. They turned two clutch ones today. And Snoop Dogg was in the booth, and everyone's feeling good. Everyone's having a great day here at the ballpark. And tomorrow being Father's Day should be a fun one. The kids were up on the podium earlier today with Pat Murphy. We'll hear from the manager after this. The Brewers win 3-1 over the Reds. Back with more on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. Just all Snoop Dogg right now. He's going to be down the street here later tonight at Pottawatomie. Guess it's a brand new venue. That sounds like fun. The Brewers getting ready to go tomorrow on Father's Day, and should be a packed house. I got my hands on a Sal Frelick bobblehead I'm fired up about today. Tomorrow you got the Brewmaster shirt coming out here tomorrow. So this is a really good bobblehead, by the way. I think Sal was really hyped about it. I talked to him about it yesterday in the dugout. Unfortunately, he didn't get into the game today. You know, you got to hit a home run on bobblehead day. Everybody knows the rules, so maybe he's just saving it for tomorrow against Frankie Montas. With Father's Day in the air, the Murphy family is in town. They were at the press conference. Once again, the kiddos sitting side by side with Pat Murphy after a big win today, 3-1. Here's what the skipper had to say to the media.
Snoop?
Yeah, what point is he getting on his first pitch?
Yeah, seemed like a nice man. You know what I mean? We played a trick on Quentin Berry because Quentin wanted to meet him so bad, and Quentin wanted to be the one to catch the first pitch. So we had Dan Larea and Arnold was in on it. We had them tell him, like, hey, Rock got his 30th anniversary last night of broadcasting in the booth, and we're going to let Rock catch the first pitch. Sorry. Q was devastated. He was so down. So right up until it happened. See, he came off after the third first pitch. If you guys watch him come off. And then I had Snoop go up to him. I told Snoop about it, and he went up to him and said, Q, I can't do it without you, man. You get out there. It was beautiful. He was like, really? It was beautiful. You know, did you know Snoop was at the game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw him, too.
You saw him, too?
We were also wondering what he whispered in your ear.
I can't tell you all that stuff.
Did it involve baseball?
Did.
Did it involve having Joey Ortiz swing the bat instead of bunting?
Yeah. Don't start getting on bunting. That's the fourth home run after a bunt attempt this year. Fourth.
Did he offer to join your pitching staff?
No. But we did have a little catch in the hallway. Told him to get his elbow up a little bit. His elbow was a little low release. I knew we wouldn't have high spin, so I said, hey, you got to get that elbow up a little bit to get a little more extension. So that was fun day. God.
Murph, is that a little thing that a guy does, is show bunt, and the pitcher thinks he's trying to bunt?
Again, in that situation, I would have, Joey decided to do that on his own. I would think that's ill-advised right there, the way he's swinging the bat. And knowing that they don't want to pitch around him to get to Contreras or Yelich. So, again, sometimes in the pitcher's mind, right? Hey, this guy's bunting. Hey, like, I'm not as concerned about edge, whatever. And it's happened four times, so I think it's a thing. Three times, four times, it's a thing.
What does that moment do for them? Just with the way last night's game, what does that moment do for you guys getting a lead with the way, you know, your pitchers are working?
Well, that, and then you think about that big moment for him as a young player. Gives everybody a lift. I think it's safe to say, guys, we're not playing great. We're not swinging the bat great. We're kind of not playing as that scrappy underdog team. It doesn't feel like that. You know, maybe that's my perception. But I think in general, all of us, including me, we haven't been our best selves here in the last couple weeks. So, that was big for us, and then the way Hudson came in, and Billy was tremendous for 5 2/3 or whatever he pitched. What did he pitch? 5 1/3. I mean, he was tremendous, efficient, tremendous pitch to pitch. One walk or two walks. He was great, and then the way Hudson continues to come in and do the job, I was that was impressive to shut this team out. I mean, they're hot and they're good, you know. And our defense was great today. Look at the plays Adames made. You know, William Contreras was tremendous behind the dish. Willie Adames was tremendous in the field. He made some great plays. Ninth inning, made two great ones. And Churio made plays. Ortiz, Terang, of course, we say it every day. That was, turned some big double plays, and that was a good defensive performance and good pitching performance. Offensively, we got a ways to go, but something we've been pretty good at. So we'll get it back. We'll get our edge back.
Got to get the edge back. I mean, he said it out loud. What we've been talking about. Cool, you win. Everyone feels great. Hey, offense. Tap 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 tap. You good? Can you wake up? Like. This whole homestand has not been pretty for the offense, really, aside from that one inning against the Blue Jays, right? I mean, let me read you the run totals here during this homestand, okay? Monday, 3. Tuesday, 0. Wednesday, 5, with all 5 of them coming in one inning. Friday, 5, with 4 of them coming in the last. And then yesterday and today, 3. We've known that like 4 is that magic number for the Brewers, but they've also been the team that scored double digits for a little while, more than anybody else now. I think they're 3rd in baseball in that regard. 7 runs seems to be a magic number for them. They get to 7 runs more often than a lot of other teams. But this week, they haven't been themselves trying to get back on the slide. And quite frankly, maybe playing 13 in a row, it can do one of two things, right? Playing 13 in a row can wear you down, make you worried, or it can give you time that I'm back to the ballpark today, where all you can do is just focus on your game, and then boom, you found that slot, you found what you've been looking for, just in time for another off day, right? That's sometimes how it goes in the baseball world. Up next, we're going to hear the highlights from this one and then get ready to say goodnight. Brewers get the victory 3-1 over the Reds. Relive it next on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Reds. Fun one here at the ballpark. Snoop Dogg came out through a first pitch. Packed house. Sal Frelick bobblehead night. And it turned into a pitcher's duel. Jared Koenig was the opener, gave way for Bryce Wilson, and then Andrew Abbott for the Reds. He was rolling. The big highlights for today, though, were a lot of defense. We picked things up in the fourth inning. Bryce Wilson on the mound after a one-out single by Tyler Stevenson. Jake Fraley at the plate.
Here at AmFam Field. Bouncer to second. Terang flips to Adames for one. On to first. In time. 4-6-3 it goes. The Brewers turn 2 behind Wilson.
It was just a 7-pitch inning for Bryce Wilson. He really settled into a groove, only facing one over the minimum on his day. In the bottom of the fifth inning, the Brewers got a rally formed exactly where he'd want it. 8 and 9 both drew walks, Churio and Terang. Then it was Joey Ortiz at the top of the order with a lefty on the mound. Andrew Abbott's scouting report says he gives up a lot of homers.
1-1 pitch. Fly ball deep left. And his way back. And it is gone. A 3-run blast from Joey Ortiz, and the Brewers finally break through.
Jeff Levering on the call there. Joey's 6th home run of the season. Bryce Wilson would throw one more inning in the 6th, would leave a leadoff walk stranded. Then in the 7th, it was Brian Hudson on the mound, and he has continued his all-star form, but he got some help from his defense.
Not a huge velocity guy, but it comes out of a 6-8 frame. It plays a lot faster than it looks on the radar gun. A liner, leaping catch by Adames at short. Wow!
What a play. Lane Grindle on the call there. Full extension for Willie to get up and make the play. Fast forward to the 9th inning now. A leadoff walk, though. It's not what you want to hear when your closer, Trevor McGill, is on the mound. That was to Ellie De La Cruz. He promptly stole second base, then scored on an RBI double from Jamer Candelario. That meant the tying run would come to the plate for the rest of the game. Nice play by Willie Adames to rob Spencer Steer of a hit. That kept the runner on second. Then a boneheaded base running mistake by the Reds by Candelario trying to go to third on a ground ball to the shortstop. Willie threw him out there and left a man on first with two outs. Folks started to exhale, and then finally Fairchild was the last hope for the Reds.
First pitch, runner takes off, a swing and a fly ball into shallow right. Out is Terang, in is Churio. It's Churio who makes the catch, and the Brewers secure a 3-1 victory over Cincinnati.
Fun night at the park. The Brewers get the dub 3-1. They'll go for the series tomorrow. We'll preview it next here on 620 WTMJ. I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top of the world, hey. 41 wins now for the Brewers in first place in the Central. I'm Dominic Catronio. You know, I want to bring you into the scene here as I'm out here on the field. You know, I'm in the booth for BEI here at American Family Field. And out on the field, the only guys out there, Pat Murphy and his sons, and their son's friend as well. Just playing catch, having a great time. We had a bit of a Father's Day discussion today. Maybe we'll have more of one tomorrow with Murph, but I'll play some of that audio tomorrow on Brewers warm-up, just about being able to be raised in baseball like he's doing for his sons is a beautiful thing, and it reminds me of how I was raised, being raised in baseball. So my dad being a baseball broadcaster, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But just really cool to see kind of a flashback for my eyes to see, you know, all I wanted to do was play catch kind of thing, right? And, you know, your kid doesn't care if you're 41 wins or if you have 41 losses. They don't know. They just want to play catch. And that's what I'm seeing right now in the outfield. So just a really cool moment for the Murphy family here at American Family Field. So we're on the air tomorrow at noon. First pitch is scheduled for 1:10. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up. That rolls from 12 to 12:30. Network coverage will take over at 12:35. Colin Ray will get the ball for the Brewers. He is going up against Frankie Montas. Elsewhere around baseball here quickly, specifically within the division, the Cubs defeated the Cardinals 5-1, so that sends the Cardinals back under 500. And the Reds had a chance to match 500 today. They will leave town no better than under 500. They will be no better than one game under if they win tomorrow, or they'll be three games under if they lose tomorrow and continue the trend for this NL Central. Elsewhere, the Pirates taking on the Rockies later tonight. That game doesn't start until 8:10. Some other finals that matter for the National League. The Nats beat the Marlins in Game 1 of a doubleheader 4-0, and they had a rain delay yesterday. No doubleheader, I should say. That game's already finaled up. Blue Jays blanked the Guardians 5-0. The Angels win again. They beat the Giants 4-3, and the Red Sox have an early 3-2 lead over the Yankees at Fenway Park. That's going to do it for me here tonight. I'm back on the air at noon. Shout out to Snoop Dogg. Great dude. He took every photo anybody asked for him. That was really cool to meet an A-lister today, to say the least. Our thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison, and to Jerry Augustine for joining us. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Father's Day. Give your dad a call. Until then, keep on swinging.